Turn my mic up.
Ready on the right.
Hey, yo. Calm down, nigga.
Ready on the left.
Hey, yo. Calm down, nigga.
Ready on the right.
Hey, yo. Calm down, nigga.
Ready on the left.
Oh my lord, what is up everybody? Who used that fancy volume down to mix the music in? It is Twisted with Sam Tripoli. Thank you for tuning in. We have a very special Friday edition. I had a great meeting that went on Wednesday, so I couldn't record with Steve Randolph, International Bad Boys Hour. Steve and I have had a falling out. Might be International Bad Boys Out. That's what it might be, but we'll see. I love Steve. He's just a shit-talking motherfucker, and I have to deal. I gotta regulate. Sometimes the master's gotta put the student in his place. You know what I'm saying? So we'll get back to that. But I'm very excited about you guys coming out. I'm doing this very special edition. I hope you all have a great Valentine's Day, guys. I'm sorry. Again, we gotta buy more stuff. Whoever came up with this idea of putting Valentine's Day so close to Christmas is ridiculous. I need like a 4-month buffer. Let me get back, let me get my money back in line so I can buy this chick more shit to let her know that I love her, okay? I don't hit her. I think that's fine. I think that's enough. Let her know that I love her. Jesus Christ. And I've been talking about this on stage. Like, I'm really trying to start change.org to get everybody, to get Hallmark cards to recognize March 14th as Steak and Blowjob Day. I am tired of going to CVS and not seeing any guys have any kind of holiday celebration there. Valentine's Day, you walk in there, I feel like Alice in Wonderland. There's all these hearts dancing around. Try to find, on Dad's, good luck on Father's Day, trying to find anybody that gives a shit. Try to find a display about Dad. You know, Dad died 15 years earlier than everybody else because Dad busts hump all day, working 2 or 3 jobs so everybody can have whatever they want, but nobody gives a shit about his day. Hey, real quick, ladies, kids out there, nobody wants socks for gifts. Do you like socks for gifts? If I get you socks for your birthday, ladies, are you going to be excited with me? No, not at all. So my question is to you, why do you think Dad likes socks? Dad likes a fucking tie? Nobody likes a tie. Nobody likes to tie a tie. But apparently that's in. It's ridiculous. I don't know where men get a shaft. I don't know why we get a shaft, but we always get a shaft. So have a great Valentine's Day. I don't know where that rant was going, but you know what I'm talking about. Twisted. Lot of stuff to talk about. I know this is coming out on Friday night, which tomorrow is Saturday, Valentine's Day. If you're in Los Angeles area or the Long Beach area, we're doing a live naughty Valentine's Day show. It's got Tiffany Haddish, Gareth Reynolds, and more. A lot of burlesque dancers, a lot of craziness going on. Super excited. I hope you guys can come check it out. Big news here. We're going to be doing a special naughty show podcast next Wednesday. Gareth Reynolds coming down, and me and him are going to do another naughty show podcast. Vicky is either busy or very uninterested in doing it again. So it's going to be me and him, and we got a crazy show for you. So if you guys can tune in, we'll be super duper excited. I am guarantee you the reunion, the group getting back together is going to be phenomenal. Gareth and I have been talking. We want to do it maybe a naughty show once, maybe twice a month. I'd like to do it twice. I just love the naughty show. And every time I want to leave and not do the naughty show anymore, somebody always comes back and goes, hey, you should do more naughty shows. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it. I'm gonna give you 3 words and to describe what the naughty show is going to be next week. Next Wednesday, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And those 3 words are anal ring toss. That's all you're going to get from me. Okay? Anal ring toss. Fill in the blanks. You know how we do it, naughty style. Come and hang out. I want to quickly say I'm very thankful for all the kind words and all the people who are going to iTunes and giving us 5 stars and saying nice things. And even the guy who said he doesn't like the show as much as the old show. I get it, dude. I fucking get it. You like the circus. I like the circus. But sometimes you got to wonder what you're doing. So I'm going to bring back the circus. I just got to do other things. So if you can, I know not everybody's on iTunes, but if you are, just drop a 5-star. Say something nice. Say this Armenian out here is doing good things for you. a lot of weird shit going on in my life. I'm going to get into this real quick. Obviously, the passing of Jerry Tarkanian as an Armenian, you know, he's like one of the greatest Armenians in my life. I've known, you know, since I was a kid, I've followed Jerry Tarkanian. Half the reason I went to UNLV, went to school there, is because they had the greatest basketball team in the country, coached by an Armenian. That's unheard of. That's incredible. Like what Tiger was the black people to golf, Jerry Tarkanian was to me as a young Armenian man. So I'm very excited. I was very excited to go out and see him. I'm very saddened by the fact that he's no longer here. I think that what he went through with the NCAA tournament, I know if you're a girl, you're like, what are you talking about? Just let me finish this rant. Okay, I'm a man. I'm talking about the loss of a man and influence in my life. What he went through with the NCAA and the prosecution of them constantly trying to find something so they could run him out of basketball, what was happening then is what we see the NCAA trying to change now. They were a witch hunt. They went after him because he did it his own way. You know, UNLV at the time when he was coaching them was pretty much a community college. And it's not that far of a thing to say that, hey, man, it's almost like Jerry Tarkanian turned DeVry into a national champion powerhouse basketball team. That's really what he did. I mean, even when I went to UNLV in the early 90s, it was considered just a commute school. It wasn't really a college. Now it's like got a million buildings and it looks like a real college. It's, you know, kids live on campus all the time. I used to live in Williams Building, 501. Anyone who goes to UNLV, you can go see my dorm room. I'm surprised they haven't turned it into a museum. I mean, with all the bong stains and cigarette burns, must be all over that carpet. Surprised they haven't just turned it into a museum for the children. To let them know, hey, you too can go move on to a podcast that five people listen to called Living the Dream. So that was my rant. I love very much Jerry Tarkanian and all that stuff. Want to get into another thing about Las Vegas that I want to talk about, and that is the passing of my friend Tony Roybal. He passed away. He was a good friend of mine when I went to UNLV. I loved him very much. But I've learned. I went to his memorial. Let's say not. They cremated him, so there was no funeral. Okay, so I went to wherever everybody said goodbye. I don't know the technical things, but we'll call it the funeral. It's the funeral. I went to the funeral, and I'm old school. Maybe I'm the guy that lives in the past, but I just think there's certain things you just dress up for, man. You don't show up rolling out of bed in fucking pajamas, dog. You dress up for it, and those four things are court, job interviews, weddings, and funerals. You dress up to go to a funeral. You dress up for those four things. I'm telling you this, man. I've dressed up in suits every time I go to traffic court. I talked about it on this podcast in the past. 13 and like 2 in traffic court. I've gotten out of it because I dress up in a suit. Not the only reason, but I dress up. I show up. I suit up. And I go in there and I'll cross-examine the police officer. I've done it before. And I've won. And dude, it was like a movie. It was literally like a movie when I went in court. I cross-examined this cop because the whole reason I got a ticket is I didn't have a seatbelt on in standstill traffic on Sunset Boulevard. And I took the seatbelt off. I go in to make a move on the hot chick that was driving. I go to try to suck a little face because she had those teeth I love. I love anyone else like donkey teeth. I've talked about it before. Man, lately, I can't tell you, there's nothing sexier in the world than a chick with big, dumb donkey teeth. I just love it. I mean, just like, I want giant tusk hanging from your mouth. I mean, dude, I like it when they're so big that they have little spaces between them so they have room to breathe. I do. I love it. Big, dumb donkey teeth. Women should stop getting tit jobs and start getting big, dumb donkey teeth jobs. I love them. I love them. Well, anyways, I go to make a move on my friend that's driving at the time. This was many moons ago. And a cop walks up with his flashlight and pulls us over. That's how slow traffic's going, that this guy's not afraid about getting hit by a moving car. He walks up and pulls us over. There's nothing brave about that. That's pedestrian. Literally. Pulls us over. Writes me a ticket for not having a seatbelt. And the only reason I didn't have a seatbelt is because I'm fucking Casanova. I'm making mad moves on donkey teeth over there. So I go to court and I'm cross-examining the cop, and that pisses everybody off. I'm cross-examining and I'm zinging him. The judge says, stop, enough. Let me ask you, she goes, tell me your story. And I proceed to tell her what I just told you. Standstill's traffic. Tripoli's got to make a move. Those donkey teeth are calling. I lean in to make a move. Up walks Captain Cockblocker. Flashing lights. Party killer. Writes me a ticket. She literally quotes Shakespeare, says, it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. She says, she quotes Shakespeare and says, not guilty. And the whole place erupts. I've never seen a courtroom go so crazy. They go, not guilty. And I'm walking out, everybody starts high-fiving me. It was awesome. Everybody's high-fiving me. And like, you know, you go to traffic court, you see, you know, back to what I'm saying, like, you see people going to traffic court in FUBU gear. First of all, who's wearing FUBU anymore? Second of all, this isn't a rap concert. You're going to court. The same thing with funerals, man. Dude, funerals and weddings, funerals in particular, you should never be wearing jean shorts when saying goodbye to a loved one. Someone that you care about enough to take the day off, go to their memorial, say goodbye to them, dress up. Seriously. Show a little respect. I saw this guy in fucking jean shorts and a tap-out shirt. Dude, you're going to a memorial saying goodbye to your friend. It's not a trip to Buffalo Wild Wings. All right? You're not watching Fight Night 60 at Buffalo Wild Wings because you just want to chill out. Let your balls breathe. You're saying goodbye to a friend. Show a little respect. So I go to this memorial. I'm saying goodbye to my friend who I care and I love about very much, you know, and I go there and they start to show a video of my friend's life. And it's not a very, I'm going to be honest with you, the video lost me 5 minutes in. I'm 5 seconds in. It wasn't done well, and it's not the family's fault. The Roy Balls are very nice people. They did their best, but the memorial service, funeral home people, just basically plugged in a couple pictures into this video format they have that they probably sell to everybody for way too much money for what they're actually showing. And it's just ridiculous. And let me tell you something, man. You know, you should prepare a will for if you pass away. Because, hey, everybody listening, we're all going to pass away. And it's not a sad thing. It's just a cycle of life. We're all going to pass away eventually. It's all about what you do in that time from when you hit the dirt, the ground running, and when you call the day. And that time in between there, your job is to pack as much fun into your life as possible. Your job is to do as much as you can to rock out your highlight reel. And let me tell you, I went to my friend's memorial and his highlight reel sucked. Every picture was him in pajamas with a cowboy hat. And that's not my friend Tony. I think you should prepare your memorial video just like you prepare your will. You should have one ready for when it's time to go. And that your last images of you that everybody who cares about you sees is your statement about your life. My video will rock. It will be me with cool people, which is basically me with every black person I've ever met in my life. My top 5 hits, which is the 5 hottest chicks I banged while I was here. And then laser cats. That's going to be my fucking memorial. Goodbye. I'm not going to allow my parents to get manipulated. And put out some. One of the pictures they show of my friend was just a fucking station wagon driving away. Like, my friend was great. He did a lot of amazing things. He had this hilarious video channel on YouTube. He did funny. None of it was in there. It was just random, retarded pictures of my friend in pajamas and cowboys hats. Just uncalled for. By the way, yeah. So then it gets to the point now where everybody has to speak about, you know, the person who's leaving. And I'm going to be honest with you. Being in sobriety, in the last, like, 3 years, I've lost 11 friends, six of them to drugs and alcohol. I've been to a couple of the funerals. I've said goodbye to people. And, you know, if there's anything funny about a memorial, and I know this is, like, really dark and people are like, what the fuck? But it's, like, it's funny how people say stuff about you that everyone paints you in a good light at your memorial. I just want everybody to know when I go, and if you're kind enough to say goodbye to me, I want you to spit the truth. I want you to go NWA on my ass and be honest about what happened. Because I've been to my friends' memorials, not Tony's, but ones in the past, where they were like, he was the kindest guy. He had a good heart. He just, you know, was trying to get his life together. I'm like, that's not the dude I know. The dude I know fucking got robbed by hookers during drug deals. The guy I know fucking lost $300 in an 8-ball of cocaine to this fucking tranny. That's the stories you gotta tell. Those are the fun stories. I know mom's in the room, but you don't think the first person to know their kid's a sick fuck is the mother. You don't think their mom knows? My mom knew I was a sick fuck when I had an Ant Hill High stack of porno mags under my bed sheet. And dude, the pornos I had, my mom had to be like, what the fuck is wrong with this kid? I had Black Jugs magazines left and right. Very early, I liked big, fat, black tits. Because there was the Handy Sisters in my town. And this one Handy Sister, the young one, was the hottest black chick to this day I've ever seen in my life. And she was like deep space black. And she had the biggest black tits I've ever seen in my life. You know what I dude, the first time I loved black tits, I was walking back. What was the fucking name of the sitcom? Give Me a Break. Remember Give Me a Break and the family? And the giant fucking tits on the sister? God damn, those black tits were fucking huge. My brain could not fucking... I was like, where are girls like this? Wearing tight shirts and fat chocolate cans. I just come from a long line of men who love black women. My dad's literally dating a chick who used to dance in Soul Train. And my brother, for the longest time, only dated black strippers. So I used to love fucking black tits. I don't know where this I had this rant, but going back to funerals. Just if you have friends, listen. Also, before you die, pick the people you want to speak at your meeting. At your funeral. Hey, Bob, you're a really great storyteller. You're pretty entertaining. You know, I'm not dying anytime soon, but when I do you mind telling the story about the time we went to Tijuana and we actually ate that fucking hooker's pussy? That's a great story. You know why? Because when I die, and my highlight reel, that's what I want people to talk about. Not my community service. He used to feed fucking hungry. He used to feed hungry. Fuck that. Talk about the time he went to Vegas and stacked two bitches like a grown-ass man. That's what I want. Speaking of my highlight reel, I'm getting a little older. I don't know if what you guys... I don't watch porn like I used to. Like, do you watch a lot of porn? Yeah, you watch a little porn? I don't watch it like I used to. And by used to, because I had a major drug problem. And I would watch porn for like, I would Netflix binge watch pornography. You like, you ever been like behind on a series? You're like, dude, I just cranked out 3 seasons of Breaking Bad. That's how I was with like interracial gangbang pornography. I would bang out fucking hour blocks of watching porn. But after like an hour of watching porn, no matter how gacked out on drugs you were, you no longer watch for sex. What you really watch for is you watch for cinematography. You're watching for the director who understands lighting and camera angles. I started becoming a porn connoisseur. And I was like, this director, I've written letters gacked out of my mind to porn directors, tell them I appreciate the texture and feel of their movies. Who does that? Who writes to an adult film director? Just me. So my whole point is, don't just let your loved ones set up your funeral. Do it yourself. Work on it yourself. Okay? Happy news. I want to get into something about feminism, the war on feminism, females in comedy. This is a golden era of female comedy. What a weird transition to go from my friend's funeral and eating fucking Tijuana hooker pussy to talking about female comedians. Because I feel like there's this weird thing going on where some people feel that, like, people don't think women are funny, but yet they're everywhere. I'm going to be honest with you. I have more female friends of mine on television shows than male friends of mine. And it's just the truth. And I have no problem with anybody. You know, I had a friend of mine recently, Leslie Jones, who's one of the funniest people I know on the planet. She just got named a Ghostbuster. And she was at the Comedy Store, and I hugged her, and I told her how happy I am. And she walked away. I go, holy fuck. I just hugged a Ghostbuster. How crazy is that? I went to the old Ghostbusters show when it was in the movie theater. I literally went 8 times to see that movie. It was so good. And now they're remaking it with all female cast, and some people are pissed. I don't care. As long as it's good. And so, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. Oh, I had a friend go, oh, yeah, Leslie's on that because it's black guilt. It's white guilt. She got into Saturday Night Live because of white guilt. Well, let me get into something about that. First of all, let me tell you something about Leslie Jones, the comedian. I have been at the Comedy Store for 13 or 14 years. And when I say I followed everybody, I've literally followed everybody that has performed in that room. Everybody. I followed Joe Rogan, Daniel Tosh, Louis C.K. I followed every murderer up there. I am dead on the inside. There is no fear when I go up on stage. But when I know I'm following Leslie Jones, it's an education. I have to, what we call an education means you got to go up there and gear up because you're about to learn something about yourself. Nobody rocks rooms like Leslie Jones. That woman will fuck a room up. And she's going to run the light because I'm going to say something because that's what black comics do. Black comics show up late and get off stage late. It's just what it is. Sue me if you get angry. You follow black people all the time. I've done it. They run the light. She's going to destroy up there. She's going to come off sweating because she does jazzercise on stage. But she murders rooms. And when I know I'm following Leslie Jones, I have to script my first 5 jokes. I have to script them like the 1985 San Francisco 49ers scripting their first 18 plays. Because if I don't and I start getting some weird reactions, I'm going to fucking start melting on stage. So I just script my first 5 jokes. She's an education. Leslie Jones is funny as fuck. Did Leslie Jones get on Saturday Night Live because she's black? She got in when there was this whole controversy about whether... why there's no black women on Saturday Night Live. And you know what I gotta say? Fuck it. Get in there any way you can. If I can create a controversy that there's no Armenians over the age of 35 on Saturday Night Live, if I could create that controversy right now in the news to get me on Saturday Night, I would do it in a heartbeat. You gotta get in any way you can. Hey, your dad's famous. You're a chick with big tits. You know, you're the super nerd. You're a gay guy who can't stop chugging cocks, and Hollywood loves the fucking gay guys on television. Whatever it is, whatever that way you get in, get in. And I have no problem with Leslie Jones because they brought her in as a writer. And then she did that Saturday Night Live weekend update thing about slave drafts, and she would be a first round draft pick. And guess what? She blew up off that. And I have no problem with it. Because you got to get in where it's so hard to get in. For every one spot, there's literally 3,000 people trying to get that spot. So get in them whenever you can. And you know, if you don't think Leslie Jones is funny, then the other chick They hired a black actress to be on the show. They could have gave her that Ghostbuster spot. They gave it to Leslie Jones because she's a badass chick and she's funny as fuck. And now you got this new Amy Schumer movie coming out, and I don't know if you've seen the trailers for it. Let me tell you, I watched that trailer, and let me tell you how much money that movie's going to make. And that number is all of it. Whatever dollar is available, that movie's going to make. That movie is going to be so big because that trailer is so good. I'm not even a 20-year-old chick who loves dick, and that movie plays so well with me. Because it's like, if you're a 20-year-old woman, if you're an 18 to, let's say, 28-year-old woman, that's your life. What she's talking about, that's your life, man. And everyone's going to go see. She's going to make all the money. It's got LeBron James and Amy Schumer's funny as fuck. It's going to make all the fucking movement, all the money. She's going to blow it up. It's going to be nuts. I don't know. What do you think will make more, Mike? 50 Shades of Grey or the Amy Schumer movie?
It's that 50 Shades of Grey, man, because of that book.
What is it with chicks now? Okay, can we get into something real quick? Now every chick wants to be cuffed and choked. Is that the new thing?
Yeah, but it's all that. It's bullshit, the bullshit version.
No, they don't really want it. They're like, I'll do anything. You're like, dude, women do this all the time, don't they? They'll be like, the women love to bait and switch when it comes to sex. They're like, I'll do anything you want. Okay. Let me bang your ass. Well, not that. You can't do that. You can't say I'll do anything and then I don't want to do it. I was talking about, because all my friends on Tinder, dude, have been coming and telling me about all the crazy sex they're having off of Tinder. And like, I just thought that maybe what used to be first base, second base, third base has completely changed. And I would like to get into what I think are the new bases. All right. So here's what I think are the new bases. First base, ass eating. Right? Eating a chick's ass now is first base. Hey, what'd you do? I said, oh, we got the first base. That's ass eating, right?
They kiss goodnight. You turn her around.
Yeah, and you tongue her butthole. And that's just a sign that I'm interested in taking this to another level. That's what I honestly think. I think ass eating is fucking first base. It used to be holding hands. Now it's ass eating. Second base, banging somewhere in public. Whether it's a car, comedy club, in the bushes, banging your chick somewhere in public is the next level of intimacy. So number two is banging. Number three, anal. Anal's third base.
Probably.
Do you have a girlfriend?
I'm not. I've been out of the dating scene for like 5 years.
Dude,
even when I was.
Every dude I talk to now are talking about how these 22-year-old chicks love it in the ass. Love it in the ass.
I think they're watching porn or something, right?
Chicks are totally watching porn, and they love all this bondage shit. And I think dude, follow me on this. My theory on why women love bondage is because I have this whole thing about feminism. The power of feminism grows, the relationships between men and women change. And as the workplace becomes more and more asexual, that sexual relations between men and men grows stronger deep inside. And there is something about an alpha male and a female, and women love an alpha male dominating. Within the constructs of her feeling safe.
Yeah, like in her fantasy?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, it's my opinion, if you're in interracial dating, date whoever makes you happy. But there's also something about black guys are just straight up primal. They don't give a shit. They don't go watch romantic fucking comedies. And they're not like thinking girls want poetry and guys running through the airport screaming about their love. Sometimes women love a good caveman fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's a specific kind of guy. It doesn't matter what color he is, though, right?
No, I would agree. I would tell you on average, though, black guys are just more like, this is what I like. It's my theory why you never trust a male feminist. I have no fucking trust in a guy who goes around fucking crying about women's rights. Because at the end of the day, all they're trying to do is find another angle to get down your pants. And it fucking is true. There's this guy in Portland who's known as the male feminist. He's wanted for rape right now because he's been raping bitches.
Shit.
Yeah. I'm telling you, dude, if a guy's crying about fucking, what's the word I'm looking for? Not sexism, but
like the equality.
What's another word for sexism? Fuck. God damn it. That's what happens when you do too much drugs. Male chauvinist pigs. I can't remember the word, but the point is, when a guy, I hear guys, especially dudes in the audience, when I see guys get uncomfortable with dick jokes, I go, you're up to something. You're a shady fuck. You're doing something. You're trying to work an angle. It's like the guy, you ever been to a bachelor party? Have you ever been in one?
Oh, yeah.
Mike? Okay. Yeah. There's always the guy who wants to hug the stripper because he wants to let her know he's not, he doesn't want, his whole thing is like, I'm going to show this girl love so she'll let me fuck her after. He's thinking the same thing you are, but he's trying to work a different angle.
Yeah.
That's why I think male feminists are just like clean comics. They're up to no good. They're up to no fucking good. Because my theory, it's like when I do hipster rooms, they all act like, we don't care. They care too much. Mm. They care too much. And inside everybody is a third world fucking dictator. And they all just want to rule with a fucking iron fist. And they all want to fuck all the chicks. They want to turn and burn on these chicks. You know, even lesbians, like Rosie O'Donnell's on her third fucking marriage. Her next marriage will be a third fucking marriage. She goes and does a college and just talks about how she basically wants to eat all the girls in the crowd's pussy. A bunch of fucking, you know, if I did that, if I'm like, hey, NACA, what's up? I want to lick all your asshole, girls. Don't think people go fucking nuts. But it's Rosie O'Donnell. She's like, oh, she's just being her. Her and her fucking giant pumpkin head that looks like it has spiders coming out of it.
She's looking good lately, though. Have you seen her?
Rosie O'Donnell?
Yeah, she's looking.
Man, you're lonely.
She's looking, you know, a lot better than she ever has. She slimmed down a little bit.
Listen, dude,
good.
The greatest travesty of all time, the greatest travesty of all time is her being casted as Betty from the Flintstones.
Oh, yeah, that was horrible.
That was, dude, the term she's a Betty comes from Betty from the Flintstones. It's just a fat lesbian. And it upset the fuck out of me. I have nothing against lesbians. I'm built like a lesbian. Me and lesbians get along. We got tits. We got clits. We like fucking coke. And we like to eat fucking pussy. We get along. Oh, yeah. So my theory is this, and you could tell me what you think about this. But, you know, the whole thing about Amy Schumer's movie is she's a working girl who loves dick, but also wants love. And I'm going to tell you something. I said this on stage and the whole room got quiet. I think men won the war on feminism and we did it sneaky. Because women marched and they were like, equal rights, equal pay. And what are they doing now? They're fucking working jobs. They're fucking giving up anal on the first date. And nobody's getting married anymore. I think we won. I think we fucking won. I know friends of mine who don't work because their wife works all the time. And their whole thing is when that wife comes home, they got to drop dick. If you have a girlfriend who works, if you have a wife that works, and you're the guy who stays home, your job is to raise a kid and drop dick. You have to eat pussy to keep your job. It's just the truth. I think men won the war on feminism. Look at this. Every chick, I mean, dude, reality stars all want to become porn stars now. It's easy because they want the quick buck.
Yeah, Kim Kardashian did it. Look at
Kim Kardashian. Every fucking reality star now is trying to become a porn star. We fucking won. Because it's easy money. Because girls all wanted to march. Oh, we want to work. We want to work. And then they get to work and they're like, this fucking sucks. Like, dude, if you could make a living just taking selfies and having teenage boys beat off to you all day, would you do it? If you could make six figures, Mike, and you could take pictures and just fucking teenage boys beat off to you all day, would you do it? Six figures.
I'd do it, but I think I'd feel better if it was chicks.
Well, girls are doing it now. I guess girls are doing it now. Like, there's that one porn star. What is his name? He's the fucking, who's the fame? The James Dean is his name. He's the porn star.
Yeah.
He's got a bunch of teenage girl fans. They're called like Dean Heads or something like that. And they all worship his dick. It's a face group of underage girls who just are waiting to turn 18 so they can ride his dick.
Oh, man.
It's such a great... Like, and the whole thing is like, who made up the rule that women can't have sex? Like, I just want to go to the Middle East. What are you doing? It's so much better. Right?
Yeah.
And it's getting crazy because, you know, the truth of the matter is, like, you have to come to grips with the fact that most likely, you know, if you're going to marry a girl in her 20s, and I could get real out of shit like this, you have to come to grips that there's a good chance your girlfriend's been gangbanged once or twice.
That's kind of extreme, but
no, it's not, dude. Why is that extreme? Because there's a lot of girls who, like, I'm not saying, like, 8 black dudes beating off on your girlfriend, but, like, she's in college, a couple guys are like, yeah, why not? And she sucks off, like, 4 dudes at one time? You don't think that's totally plausible?
Probably more so with, like, the college. If you had a college thing, if she was in party school, sure.
Let me ask, Mike, if you were in college and 4 chicks were like, I want to fuck you, 4 chicks, you wouldn't fuck them?
Oh, of course, I'd do my best.
Yeah, but what if you're a chick? And, like, 4 cute boys are on, and they're like, hey, man, why don't you suck our dicks? And you're like, why not? And you just start going 1920s phone operator on all their fucking dicks. Hello, 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 hello. Start answering all their phones, and by phones, I mean their dicks. And it just, you know, you wouldn't do it? Why would you?
I don't think most chicks. I think if you get them,
I think
some
you're crazy.
And you get them into, like, a party situation.
I'm not saying all chicks want to get gangbang. I'm saying... once or twice, they might want to just fucking dip their toes in the thing. It's like you, before you were your girlfriend, had a fuck it list of things you wanted to do sexually. You don't think girls have that? You don't think...
No, actually, I think some of them don't. I mean,
I think you are delusional. And I mean that with all due respect.
They're better at keeping that shit like in a fantasy. So like if it doesn't actually come true, they're not heartbroken like guys are if they don't like bang 2 sluts somewhere during their life. You know?
I think they can't. I just think people got to understand that girls are going to be like girls. Girls are going to do what girls want to do. Girls don't give fuck. And I'm totally fine with it. My friend asked me if he thought that society was crumbling now. Because we allow gay marriage and women are sexual. I'm like, no, it's fucking great. Love is love and you want to have sex, sex. What we're getting away is we're getting away from empathy for other people and we're getting greedy and we want, the top wants everything and they want to leave nothing. And like, you only have a house if you have a foundation. You can't just have an attic. You have to have a fucking basement and a base to hold a house. So as we keep pulling money from everybody else and these rich fucks get richer, that's what's going to make it crumble. Not the fact that, hey, if you're gay, you can be in love and marry somebody. That's not going to ruin society. By the way, do you ever watch The Kroll Show?
Oh, yeah, love it.
Dude, is that not the... I'm going to say this. This season of this show is the greatest sketch comedy show I've ever watched in my life. Dude, the writing on that show is so insanely good. And it's like they've taken long form improv and they've just kind of changed it a little bit. But the whole season is like mini shows. And the editing is done so fucking good. And the writing is fucking amazing. And I watch it and I just go, I've been doing that kind of comedy for fucking 20 years. I was just way ahead of my time. While everybody else is doing Seinfeld, I'm talking about slamming ham, banging chicks, being a male hooker, all that fucking shit. All that. And I just hope that this town will give this old man with fucking gorilla tits a fucking shot. But it's the best show. But what I'm talking about is like, it's so interesting because what used to be dick joke comedy by straight white guys or straight guys, black guys, Mexicans, white guys. Now you're seeing the other form of the dick joke, which is the female version of dick joke, which is what Amy Schumer's doing. That whole show, that whole movie is a giant dick joke. And I'm not saying it to be, because I think it's going to be amazing. It's just but now it's from the woman's perspective. Instead of me joking about beating off on her face, she jokes about getting fucking shot in the face with a fat man sauce shot. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But the Kroll Show has some gay jokes that are like gay dick jokes that aren't making fun of it, but they're being legit. Like, what's the weird Canadian show that they do a joke about? Have you ever seen that?
Wheels Ontario.
Wheels Ontario is so fucking funny, man.
Coach Teacher.
Coach Teacher.
Gene Creamers.
And he's fucking, and John Daly's fucking funny as fuck. And now he's bisexual. And it's so fucking funny. Nick Kroll's won in life.
Yeah.
I said this a long time, even before he got a show, and I'm not saying that I'm the guy that saw it. But dude, the first time I saw that guy do stand-up, I was like, that is one of the funniest fucking guys I've ever seen. And then I saw his acting, I'm like, that's a great fucking actor. Then he said a sketch show, I'm like, that guy is the white Jamie Foxx. I mean, like, that guy can do everything. I haven't heard him sing, but it's funny as fuck. That show is funny. People can give Comedy Central all the shit they want. And I'm like, I haven't watched Workaholics this year. I see it's like crazy and it's probably hilarious. But the Nick Kroll Show is so fucking funny. Sketch, it's so fucking good. It's written not like a sketch. That's why. There's no real start to finish. It's just all ongoing.
It's the last season, too.
Why is... Oh, because he's about to do movies. Is that why he's not doing it?
Probably. I think he just said that he thought he did everything he could do with it or whatever. It's got to be draining. He's in like every single sketch.
It's funny as fuck. That's a great show. That guy's a fucking champion. Real quick, I'm putting this out. We're recording on Friday, and most of the time you put out your podcast usually on a Monday so people can see it and they'll listen to it throughout the week. I'm going to put it out today because I just want to put it out. And I want to talk about the Grammys, and I don't want it to be too late to talk about the Grammys. I particularly love the fucking Grammys. I think the Grammys are the best of the award show because I think the Grammys do the best job of including old with the new. You know, it's like, I don't know, did you watch the Grammys at all?
Just a little bit.
Okay. Dude, AC/DC is the most entertaining shit I've ever seen because everybody looks like they're about to have a heart attack. They literally look like they're having a heart attack. And you're just like, dude, that guy's dying. And he just powers through it. And, you know, they're so good, black people clap for him, dude. You know, I mean, like, what black people listen to rock? White people listen to... You must think I'm a racist. I'm just saying. I've seen, in my time at rock concerts, I've seen one black guy. I go to fucking rap concerts, half the crowd is white. They just don't like rock. But you watch them, there you see Beyonce clapping for AC/DC. They're going to Dodger Stadium. I just saw the advertisement. I'm going to go to the fucking concert. Because I've only had two of the bands I've ever wanted to see. Those are Alice in Chains and AC/DC are the two bands left that I need to see of all my favorite. Obviously, I would love to see the Beatles, but that's not possible. But... the Grammys are great. Madonna, the baddest bitch on the planet. Like, you watch that whole thing, you're like, oh, yeah. What everybody's trying to be, you are. She is entertaining as fuck. And she loves gay men. She can't get surrounded by more gay men if possible. The smell of asshole on that stage at some point.
Annie Lennox from the Eurythmics.
Yeah, she's great.
And she fucked it up. And she was showing all those young bitches like Taylor Swift how it's done. Like, yeah. That's the OG right there.
She is OG, dog. She is amazing. I mean, Madonna, Annie Lennox, I mean, they were just... I mean, AC/DC blew it up. You're like, oh, hey, by the way, we're going to sing a song we wrote. Not 18 other fucking dudes are too ugly to be on camera had to write for us so they can make a living as a fucking in music. We wrote this bit. We're going to fucking rock it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I have some notes I want to go over real quick. And then I have a funny thing I want to talk about. AC/DC, Madonna. Okay. Kanye West is amazing. But it's so obvious, dude, that the death of his mother has completely shish kebabbed his brain. He is foobar. And he's so talented. But you know what, man? I'm just getting sick and tired of him walking on stage and fucking with little white girls, okay? Taylor Swift and Beck. You want to be a bad man? Go up to a real fucking guy that you know will fucking clock you and do that shit. If you're really that badass, Kanye West, if you're really that passionate about Beyonce and her billion hits and her $1 million she's making, go do it to somebody you know will fucking knock you out. Walk up on stage when Metallica wins a fucking award and see James Hetfield knock the fucking your teeth in the next Tuesday. That's why I don't respect that shit. You can be like, oh, I'm a badass guy. I'm a fucking badass. Oh, give it. Yeah, do it to somebody. I pray to God. I pray to the Lords. I love fucking Kanye West, but if somehow, someway I can get an award and somehow I beat Kevin Hart or JB Smooth and he wants to come up, please come up. Because I will knock the fuck out of you, dog. And I will sell out stadiums for the rest of my fucking life. Please, help a brother out. Beck doesn't need it. Taylor Swift doesn't need the press. I need the fucking press. Come up and let me knock you the fuck out. And I love him, man. That whole thing when he performed just over the lights and it's just like, just that's brilliant shit. And when he wants to be seen, walks into it. But dude, you ain't the artistic police. And I haven't listened to the Beck album. I think Beck is great. I didn't listen to it. But he won. Why? Who are you to decide who gets their fucking moment? I'll fucking dropkick you right in your fucking teeth. Even though I love you. I wanted to talk about Sam Smith. Do you know who Sam Smith is?
Yeah.
He's the new Morrissey, basically. They done it. Won a bunch of awards. And very happy for him. You know, I have nothing against Sam Smith. He's actually got a great voice. But if I hear another motherfucker start talking to me about, you know, I was doing what they wanted me to do, and I said enough, and I just followed my voice, and I did my voice, and I followed my art, and I did my thing, and look where I am. Wow, you're brave, bro. You're fucking brave. What are you singing about? Love? Wow, you're really heartbreak? Wow, way to go out on a fucking edge on that fucking one. I'm up there doing jokes about necrophilia on stage and people are staring at me like I'm kickboxing pregnant women. You know what I'm saying? That's fucking, it's really easy to say follow your fucking voice when your voice is very mainstream. You know, Sam Smith, you're a gay guy. Sing a song about fisting Filipino boys and let's see how well that fucking plays with everybody. Do it. Show me, don't tell me you haven't done some weird shit. Fucking sing about that. That's fucking following your voice. Sing about how you gave a fucking chance to love and it fucking didn't work out and it's inspired you to be, but that's not fucking brave, dude. And I have nothing against you. I'm glad you won all your Grammys, but I'm just so sick and tired of the fucking people who do the mainstream shit talking about how brave they are and how they just followed their voice and all that shit. It's really easy to have a voice everybody wants to hear. It's when you have a voice that you're fucking, it's the little creepy monster that you want to talk about. That's the fucking brave shit. Show me that shit. Talk about doing ecstasy and mushrooms with your friend and he's naked beating off in the fucking van trying to come back from Pahrump, Nevada and see, do that in fucking Mall of America, Minnesota and see how fucking people react to that shit. Get back to me on that one, homeboy. Fucking your struggle. You don't know struggle. I'm struggling.
And didn't he win with the Tom Petty song anyway?
Yeah. It's I have nothing against the guy. And you know what? I'm happy for him. And you know what? Gay artists should be able to be gay. I don't care what you do with consenting adults. Just don't act like you're fucking Martin Luther King walking down the fucking street with fucking hoses on you singing about love. And you know what's so funny is he's represented by the same people who represent Adele. Is that her name?
Adele.
Oh, God. Adele. And he gave the exact same speech he did. Do you know that? When she won her first one, she's like, I wrote this after I was heartbroken. I just want to say thank you so much. And that was his exact same speech. Even the acceptance awards are formulated. But I still love it. I still love the Grammys. It's the best show on television. It really is. The Grammys are the best. I don't like the Oscars. I would fucking stab you, Mike, to go get an Oscar nomination. Nothing personal. I would stab you and then use my popularity to make a movie about your life. Okay, that's how. It'd work out for both. I wouldn't hit a fucking area where you could die. I'd stab you in like your side fat on the side, like just nick you right here.
If you gave me points on that movie, I'd probably let you do it.
Dude, I would give you points. You'd be executive producer. I would.
I'll take it. Did you see Katy Perry at the Grammys?
Dude, I would eat her ass. Right? Dude, I love her. And I've said this before. You know why I love Katy Perry? It's because of all those young girls, they all want to act like they're going to be the next Madonna. And she's the only one that's like, I'm a pop star with fucking monster cans. And she just can't find love. And I will love her. Katy Perry, I mean, I got a girlfriend right now, but we could work something out, the three of us. Because, okay, no, I couldn't leave my girlfriend. But let's say in bizarro world where I didn't have a girlfriend, I would never cheat on you. I would eat your butt every day. Like, after you got done with the fucking the Super Bowl halftime show, I'd take you into the locker room and just breathe through your asshole and talk you down. I don't know why you got to date these fucking alphas who are going to cheat on you. Come to Sammy in our bizarro scenario where I will eat your asshole every day, 365-247. Stop dating guys who everybody wants. Start dating guys who only want you. And you know what? That's so deep. Sam fucking Smith's going to write a song about that. I charge your butthole. Let you know that I love you. I almost got to a song. Okay, our weird story of the day. I can't believe nobody called in for any Valentine's Day stuff. Makes me sad. Makes me sad. I want to talk about the a porn star, our weird story of the week. Welcome to the weird story of the week. A porn star. Do you know that nobody's really making money on porn anymore? That where the real money is web, what's it called? God damn it. Oh, camming. It's called camming.
Right.
That's where all the money is now. And this girl in Oregon State, this fucking kid, she's got to be 19. She was camming in the public library, whipping out her tits and just camming while she was studying. And she, Oregon State saw the thing, called the cops. They went and arrested her, threw her in jail, and she's looking to get a year in fucking jail for whipping out what may be some of the most... I would stab Katy Perry in the tits to get these fucking tits. That's how nice this girl's tits are. And we're going to throw her in jail for fucking whipping those God-giving super sex pillows out. We're going to throw her in jail with the rapists, the murderers, and the fucking scumbag bankers who take everybody's money. Is that really what we're going to do? We should show that, throw that girl in fucking jail for whipping out those gorgeous cans. You know what she should have to do? She'd have to do a tour of Afghanistan and Iraq. She'd have to go over there and entertain the troops just by doing fucking tit bongo every day. And just, dude, she's got to have triple double D tits. I've never seen the big, these are the biggest tits I've ever seen in my life. And she got in trouble because people at Oregon State feel like she desecrated the library. Have you been to a library lately, Mike? You ever been to one? A public library?
Not lately.
Let me tell you what it is. It is an adult bookstore for homeless people. They just go there and they just watch porn and they jerk off in the middle of the fucking lobby of the library. Do you know? And you know they've tried to stop this and courts say they can't. That those and they can look at anything they want to. So apparently it's okay to fucking jerk off the porn in the library, but you can't make porn in the library. And you know what? If there was more porn being shot in the library, more people would go to the library. Hey, when was the last time you were at the library?
The last time my computer broke, I think.
Which was what?
It was a couple years ago.
Couple years ago. It's still, they're still going on. People.
I looked at some porn while I was there. I was like, fuck it. Who's going to know?
Right. And you know what? You're allowed to, according to the courts of this country, you can look at all the porn you want while you're going to the library. You know, you remember when the library's biggest problem was people being loud and be like, shh, be quiet. Now it's like they can't even tell guys jerking off to tranny porn in the fucking lobby to stop fucking watching it because constitutionally it's freedom of speech. I don't know what the rules are, but it's just uncomfortable. Why are we going to throw her in jail? What does throwing those big monster tits in jail do to anybody? Is the public safer? Is she a menace to society with those fucking monster cans of hers being in jail? She should have to fucking do community service by just standing somewhere and let everybody motorboat them tits. I'm just saying there's a better way to use our natural resources than fucking throwing her in jail.
Yeah, it's like there's a war on women's breasts.
Yeah.
Right?
And it really is just hilarious because I could make a cam of me taking my shirt off and hanging out with my fucking fat pepperonis hanging out.
Are you hearing about this free the nipple thing? I think some women are getting behind this thing.
I think it's totally happens. I mean, like, dude, listen, it's another way that women are just going to give away just a little bit more of their power. But the logic that men can walk around with their fucking shirts off, I would rather go the other way and make a rule that men can't take their shirts off. Because the only ones who ever want to take their shirts off are fat guys, fucking tweakers, or douchebags. No normal dudes are like, dude, just, I mean, the only normal guy I know who takes his shirt off is Bert Kreischer. That's it. He's the only guy, and I'm willing to make an exception for that. We don't want outlaw taking off shit. Then Bert Kreischer, a third of his act goes out the door. You know, I don't want to make that. But I don't mind. Listen, man, it's really weird. It's like, logic. There is a logic that women should be able to take their tops off like men. But it takes away from the allure of just when she takes her clothes off. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I get what they're saying, but it's just yet another thing, another bargaining chip that women fucking lose. I mean, how long do chicks just start going to the club naked as fuck?
I don't know.
Do you want that?
Not really, no.
I'm telling you, man, I like covered up a little more. And it's not, but I agree with them that it's like, it's ridiculous that fucking, I could put a picture of me with my shirt off on Instagram and a chick can't show their nipples. I can understand if you want to make it so chicks can't show their buttholes or their vaginas. I can respect that, and even though I don't respect that, okay, but I can understand that, but I'll fucking disagree with you forever because buttholes should be free. I'm going to start free the butthole movement. How about that one? Butthole's the new pussy, by the way. Have you seen this? That's the move. Anyway, it's ridiculous that, like, Rihanna got kicked off of Instagram because she shows her nipples. It's ridiculous. I mean, dude, we live in 2015. It's just uncalled. I mean, if you don't want dicks and assholes on Instagram, respect that. But even Twitter, it's like they're allowed to. Do you see them everywhere? It's like not everybody wants to see that all the time. But the notion that a girl can't show her nipples is crazy. And I think it's hilarious. I'm fine. Again, women just, oh, you want to show your tits all the time? Where do I vote? How many times can I vote? Voting for women to be able to show their tits wherever they want to should be like the All-Star game where you can vote as many times as you want. I want to vote 90 million fucking times. So that's my story. So, I mean, we had fun. This hour flies. I do love doing this. I know that some people love it, some people don't. I don't give a shit. I love doing it. I like having fun with it. But like I said, next week is the big return of the Naughty Show. And really super excited. One more time, the three words I got for you. And that's all I'm going to give you. Anal ring toss. That's all you're going to hear. I can't give any more. Apparently we got to fucking put down sheets like we're Dexter and about to fucking cut up some dead bodies because a nice little girl wants us to shoot ring toss over her asshole. But we're going to do it because this is all things comedy, and that means all. And what's comedy to me may not be comedy to you, and you are an asshole. Only kid. A lot of things going on. A lot of great things. I'm very thankful to everybody who listens to this. I'm very thankful for all the kind words. If you like the show, let me know. If you don't like the show, let me know. I just like to know because I'd always like to make it better. And it's hard for me to listen to myself. I'm just someone who can't listen to myself. So any feedback, positive or negative, please let me know. Great things going on with Punch Drunk Sports. You know, Ari went on Sports Nation on ESPN, and they introduced him as the Comedy Central Show and from the podcast Punch Drunk Sports.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, I've been working on Punch Drunk forever, and it's fucking going to come together. I'm telling you right now. Where's Angelo? He's supposed to be here. All right, guys. Well, I've had a great time. Thank you, Mike, for coming down here. Let me record the show.
Sure, anytime.
Punch Drunk, I mean, this is Twisted with Sam Tripoli. I really appreciate everything, and I will talk to you all soon. Take care. Bye-bye. See you on the other side. Next week is The Naughty Show. Bye, everybody.